WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned two air traffic controllers were doing multiple jobs when an American Airlines plane and an Army helicopter collided and crashed into the Potomac. The union's Nick Daniels tells CBS,
"We have a controller shortage in this nation. 10,800 certified controllers are out there doing this job day in, day out, where there should be 14,335.
Divers are still searching for some of the bodies of the 67 killed. Among the victims, Alexis Wenchfriend, a young skater returning from an elite camp in Kansas.
He really wanted to go to the Olympics, and he was really excited, but now he can't go.
The president is set to impose new taxes on U.S. neighbors tomorrow. CBS's Jared Hill.
President Trump promised new 25% tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico. Oil explicitly not included on the list of taxed items.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It'll be an earlier start time for some MPS kids next year. Despite concerns from teachers and parents, the Milwaukee School Board approved a plan to move the start time for Tier 1 students 10 minutes earlier. That means instead of school starting at 7:25, it'll start at 7:15. The change aims to address busing issues, but one teacher says it'll add on to existing problems with kids being late. The site of a former Walmart in Milwaukee, which closed in February of 2023, could come back to life as a mixed-use development. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the land has been purchased by an investor group for $3.5 million. The group reportedly plans to redevelop the 17-acre property into a complex with apartments and retail. The project includes renovating the existing 157,000-square-foot building along Silver Spring near Timmerman Airport. There's more of your money piling up in Madison. Wisconsin's budget surplus has been revised upwards to $4.3 billion. That's according to the latest figures from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. It's up from the previously estimated $4 billion. Governor Tony Evers will soon present his budget proposal, which is expected to initiate a series of negotiations with Republicans over how to use that money. License plate aficionados have a new one to learn. A new specialty license plate supporting the Wisconsin County Forest Association is now available from the DMV. The plate costs $15 plus a $25 tax-deductible donation. It helps fund the organization's work. With the addition, Wisconsin drivers can now choose from more than 60 specialty plates. The most popular is the all-black plate for Road America. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers making changes on their coaching staff. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. ESPN reporting the Packers plan to hire DeMarcus Covington as their next defensive line coach. Covington was the Patriots' defensive coordinator last year. He was hired by Bill Belichick and was New England's defensive line coach when they won their most recent Super Bowl 5 years ago. But the Packers are losing linebackers coach Anthony Campanelli. After just 1 year in Green Bay, Campanelli is 42. He grew up in New Jersey playing linebacker at Rutgers.
I started as a high school coach. I grew up around high school football, you know, my father and my brothers and everything. So that's really where my background is.
College basketball. The Badgers hope to bounce back after losing at Maryland. Wisconsin will be at Northwestern tomorrow. Tip-off time, 1 o'clock. Number 9th ranked Marquette at home in Milwaukee against UConn tomorrow night. Game time, 7 p.m. The Bucks road trip continues tonight in San Antonio against the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team. He'll be joining Giannis as a reserve. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. No record warmth today. It will be cooler under mostly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 30s. A few light rain showers possible in the morning, and it will be breezy as well. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low near 25. Mostly cloudy Saturday, a high of 33. It's 35 at our studios.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday mornings starting at 6.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together. And long division just doesn't matter, 'cause we're all in this together.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy. With Sandy, the music.
Well, I picked music that was, it was really a response to this whole question of pointing at DEI as the problem and immediately going the direction of divisiveness. So my music is all about the fact that some of it relates to people who try to divide us, and the rest of it is music about how it is that we can imagine that we're all together, you know, that we're all in this together. So that music was the most poignant example of it.
You know, we're going to, Sandy, we still got callers on the line, but I want you, and we're going to go to the callers, but I want you to address, Trump says tariffs on Canada and Mexico coming Saturday. Now, you know, I want you to get into, Sandy, this thing about Trump still saying tariffs, the overall impact of what that means and what can really happen. Let's get to the phones quickly. Mike from Kenosha, good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. happy Friday, everybody. I got to agree with Brandon. I have a big-time question is what in the world is that helicopter doing there? They are the highest trained group. It's almost inconceivable that this mid-air collision could happen. But, you know, again, I'll wait for all the facts to come out.
Yeah, that's what people should do, wait for the facts to come out.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. What a novel idea. Huh? But, no, you know, we have a typical response from today's Republican Party, blame and vilify. You know, don't let an opportunity go by to vilify the other team. You know, another sign of the war tactics that they're doing. But, you know, this air traffic shortage, it has been going on since Reagan fired them all.
Yes.
And we've been trying to play catch up now for over 40 years. So my question is, when we know that America flies more than ever, the need is substantial, the risk is huge, you mean to tell me we can't train our own people? We can't find it within our own cities, our own, the people, that we can't fill these positions? Of course we can. The reason why we haven't is because the Republicans have been putting us under this austerity crap, again, since Reagan. They have interfered with trying to bring the air traffic controllers up to suitable
number
and hours.
Right.
There is one guy. There was one person I heard this morning. CBS reported there is one air traffic controller that was on staff. What are you going to do when you have to go to the bathroom or something? It just doesn't make sense that we put ourselves into this position. But the finish of the call is, we talk about deep state. The deep state are the corporations and the think tanks and the elites that operate under dark money rules, which means there's none. So they can fund their little games. They can invest their billions of dollars and not be tied to it. If we want our nation back, if we the people want to regain the power, we must take responsibility in making sure that we know who's playing around in the public's elections, who's funding these things, for us to not demand clarity and full, it just doesn't make sense. So I got to tell you, I've had it with these MAGA groups that continue to vilify and blame. And then when their guy comes up and embarrasses us as a nation to the world and starts talking this DEI stuff and trying to vilify a horrible, horrible, tragic event where people are shattered, their lives are just ruined because they've lost kids, they've lost family members. This guy has no business being in any office.
Hey Mike, President, thank you very much for that call. I understand your passion. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Harold and Sandy. It's going to be a very long 4 years for you gentlemen, including your previous caller.
What do you mean for us? Because if you think the way Donald Trump has been handling things thus far is going to be that way for the next 4 years, you're mistaken. But anyway, go ahead.
You don't want to hear me talk, Earl. That's why you talk over me all the time.
No. CJ, I'm giving you a chance. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is what leadership is called. His executive orders, you didn't have a problem with the 92 executive orders that just pertain
hey,
to
CJ,
illegal immigration.
CJ, we're talking about the airplane crash and the way Donald Trump handled it. No, that's what the subject is. Can you deal with that?
Yes. Pete Hegseth said DEI is dead in air traffic controlling, too.
CJ, as long as you've called in and volunteered to talk. So DEI and the accident that happened yesterday, do you believe that there is a relationship between them? Because both the president and Pete Hegseth, by the way they talked during their press conferences, suggested the possibility without any factual basis that DEI might have been somehow at the heart of whatever it is that happened. Do you think that there's any relationship between DEI and the accident yesterday?
I think there's a possibility.
A possibility.
Of course, there's a possibility that there's a possibility of, well, almost anything.
But, a possibility.
But, I mean, the fact is that air traffic controllers are scarce. One of the reasons they're scarce is that maybe the working conditions under which they operate are not very tolerable. And so there's a burnout rate. People don't have a long career as air traffic controllers. Maybe the job isn't that desirable because of the working conditions under which they work. President Reagan broke the air traffic controllers union. And so there is no union now that represents these people to try and make sure that their working conditions are more tolerable. Do you think there might be a relationship between the breaking of the air traffic controllers union and the shortage of air traffic controllers? And could that shortage have contributed to yesterday's accident? Is that possible?
It's possible. But
yeah,
you know,
there you go. It's just as possible. It's just as possible and maybe more likely as the notion that a DEI policy, which incidentally was implemented in 2019 by President Trump's administration, was at the heart of it.
You don't want
the
to
document
hear my
that answer. The document that he read from, the document that he read from that related to the DEI policies that he was trying to decry was a document which was implemented under his administration. Did you know that?
We can't teach our kids to read and we expect them to be air traffic controllers.
CJ.
Oh, here we go.
Thank you very much for the call, man. You know, how can we respond? Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quick, I lost all respect for CJ a couple weeks ago, and he laughed about starving children. But, you know, it was reported, I'm 98% sure it was just reported in The Atlantic, that Stephen Miller and Trump got together right after this happened to figure out how they're going to spin it. They got together with Fox News, and that's how this whole DEI thing came, because Stephen Miller said, this is how we're going to spin this. So, you know, this is what I just heard reported on Midas Touch Network. I kind of believe them. They seem to be a lot more truthful than any of the other medias. And this is why I really wish that the Democrats would stand up and look at this and start yelling to the heavens with a big megaphone. This is what's going on. We're reporting this and take it as a fact. You know, we got to embarrass this guy at every chance we get.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, do you think he can be embarrassed?
Well, no, to be honest with you, I think that this is an example of hanging yourself when you're given enough rope. I think that his conduct yesterday, and presumably this kind of conduct will continue, will begin to reveal again to the American people who this person is and how they behave. And so I don't think it's necessary so much for us to decry it as it is for people to observe it. It's much the way people felt on January 7th, before the whole January 6th insurrection situation was respun. There was a great deal more unanimity in the country about what it is that had happened at that point. And I think what's going to happen now is that our observation of what's going on is going to be what really compels us to develop our opinions, not so much what I say or what you say or what other commentators say. It's going to be felt experience. And yesterday's felt experience was pretty god-awful.
855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone lines. Trump says tariffs on Canada and Mexico coming tomorrow. And he's deciding whether to tax their oil. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with you and Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show.
We're all in this together. Yeah, we are all in this together. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. We're all in this together.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast.
Hey, this is Downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, our first guest is Common Council President Alicia Halvinslaven, talking about her re-election campaign, the big issues affecting Waukesha today, and her pending nuptials, and so much more. Please join us on civicmedia.us/shows.
This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast from 540 WAUK.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Mr. Backlash, just who do you think I am? You raise my taxes, freeze my wages, and send my son to Vietnam. Give me second-class houses and second-class schools. Do you think that all colored folks are just second-class fools, Mr. Backlash? I'm gonna leave you with a backlash blue. When I try to find a job to earn a little cash,
all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy. We're sending the music.
Well, this one is about the backlash that might occur as the result of things like suggesting that DEI is at the heart of a plane crash without evidence, sort of trying to divide us up. And maybe racially, because DEI is basically thought of in terms of race and gender. I did want to correct one thing. A caller texted me. He's right that the FAA is currently unionized to the extent of 79% of its employees. But I was simply trying to point out to CJ that to try and come up with and to say that it's a possibility, there are plenty of possibilities. And I'm confident that one of the possibilities is that the FAA is understaffed, and two, that the working environment of the air traffic controllers is a very difficult one, and one in which it's difficult to both keep the workers there and to recruit new workers into.
Let's go to Mark from Cedarburg. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Well, I would just like to first my prayers and condolences to the victims and families. That's awful. And I thought the president in his statement looked silly and looked weak, and it was an embarrassment. And I just hope that our country someday can get back to common sense government and common sense centered administrations. With that saying, the Air Force, I was in the Air Force, they are tremendous trainers of air traffic controllers. And my friend is one in O'Hare, and the stress level that he goes through, that's why he only has to work 4 days a week. Because he gets paid for six because of the stress level. They have to be on top of their game all the time. And I think that's where the problem is. The government's cheap on training, cheap. Thank God they're unionized because, they want air traffic controllers. They don't want to pay them.
Hey, Mike, I'm in total agreement with you. I can't disagree with anything you said. Thank you very much for the call. Jeff from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Jeff. You say what? Jeff? Jeff? All right, put him on hold. Let's go back to David from Mequon. David, go ahead quickly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the correction, Sandy. I appreciate that. The one thing I was going to say, though, and I agree with everybody that's with URO, with Sandy, this has been going on for quite a long time, decades, as you mentioned. And so, yeah, there should be some accountability for everybody that's been previous, including Trump, who was president, obviously, for 4 years, along with Obama, Clinton, George Bush, Bush Sr. And so we can go down the pecking order. And unfortunately, I think we take things for granted that things are just running terrific until we have something like this. And it exposes the vulnerabilities in our system. And I will mention in July 24th, Reuters article, the FAA and unions agreed on new terms for like resting the air traffic controllers, because to your point, Sandy, they were working some super, super long hours, and they rectified that somewhat this past summer in trying to get that hashed out. That being said, that does not cure. I guess the FAA did hire over 1,800 new air traffic controllers. That was their goal, was to do 1,800. Well, they were just a hair over that number. But
without trying to solve the air traffic, excuse me, some minutes, Dave, without trying to solve the air traffic controller problem, I was trying to identify the situation with air traffic controllers as a symptom of the danger of attacking government. Because, you know, the government is our operating infrastructure. It operates our infrastructure. It also is there for, as our group funding mechanism, to do the things that we have decided we need to do for ourselves, to protect ourselves, to make ourselves safe, et cetera. And so my concern is that taking on government generally, and to talk only about deficits and the notion that we have to get rid of government because it's a debt-creating machine filled with people who are bureaucrats shuffling papers and whose jobs are unimportant and can therefore be cut with a meat axe and a hatchet, has dangers. And one of the dangers is that when terrible fires occur, how competent will we be in our response? When FEMA is necessary, how competent will it be? Donald Trump's answer to that now is, maybe I'll get rid of FEMA and hand this problem to the states. So, you know, I'm just concerned about us rectifying the national approach towards our approach to government per se, and getting rid of the notion that we should attack government as the problem.
So, Sandy, right away, Donald Trump blamed it on air traffic controllers. Let me say this. 16 years, Sandy, since there's been a major crash. The amount of flights that happen every day in this nation, and 16 years have gone by since there's been a major crash. Those odds, Sandy, are pretty good. To say that the air traffic control situation is terminal, I think, you know, should there be some changes? Sandy, you're a frequent flyer. Man, look at all of the flights that are going on, and well, this happens, and we say, oh, it's horrible.
Well, flying is many, many times safer than driving a car, many times safer statistically. But I think the most important part of this is not focusing on air traffic controllers and air safety, but it's focusing on government functions and the importance that government employees can have for us, and the dangers associated with simply attacking government willy-nilly without a process and without a business sense of how you do this effectively.
All right, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. On schedule and on budget. That's the latest from Milwaukee city officials about the demolition of the former Northridge Mall. Crews are currently working on the JCPenney building. The mall has stood vacant for more than two decades and was taken over by the city last year after a foreclosure ruling against the previous owner. The demo work should be done by midsummer. Milwaukee students are still struggling at school. The results from the National Assessment of Educational Progress show MPS with a failing grade in math and reading proficiency. The report indicates that a vast majority of Milwaukee public school students are not meeting those proficiency benchmarks in those core subjects. Despite widespread reports of a Puerto Rican family being detained by ICE in Milwaukee for speaking Spanish, no confirmation has been made by local officials, media, or law enforcement. Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez is helping to clarify the situation by sharing details on social media. There's a court recusal. Lisa Hale has more.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn said Thursday that he will recuse himself from a forthcoming case that will decide the future of Act 10, the controversial 2011 law that stripped collective bargaining rights from some state workers. Hagedorn helped write the original legislation when he was the chief legal counsel for Governor Scott Walker. Hagedorn's decision not to participate in the case means the court's four liberal and two conservative justices will decide the case's future. Earlier this week, Republican state lawmakers had pushed for Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who is part of the court's liberal wing, to recuse herself because in the past she has said while campaigning that she thought the law was unconstitutional.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the murder weapon was never recovered, and there were no eyewitnesses, but most people still think O.J. did it, including O.J. According to Simpson's doctor, Simpson took the truth to his grave. Why is there yet another docuseries about this horribly tragic true crime story? Because obviously people can't get enough of it. American Manhunt, O.J. Simpson, is a new four-part docuseries featuring interviews with police, lawyers who were on the case, Simpson's agent, and Ron Goldman's sister, Kim. American Manhunt is available on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, as we often do, when launching a new talk show, it's important to somehow make it unique and give it an identity separate from other talk shows. Comedian John Mulaney will host a talker on the streamer that has been the home to many of his stand-up comedy specials. Not many details have been released, and that is on purpose, according to Mulaney, who says this was the perfect match because he never wanted to do a talk show, and Netflix was getting out of the talk show game. I'm officially curious. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. No record warmth today. It will be cooler under mostly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 30s. A few light rain showers possible in the morning, and it will be breezy as well. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low near 25. Mostly cloudy Saturday, a high of 33. It's 35 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recuses from the Act 10 case. Also, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display In God We Trust. Will that stop school shootings?
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Yeah.
You know, outstanding music this morning, Sandy. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about not letting ourselves be divided. Some of it's about people who try to divide us, and the other is not letting that happen. And it really was precipitated by the whole discussion yesterday of a knee-jerk blaming of DEI for the air disaster we had.
All right, let's go right back to the phone lines. Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Your thoughts on the way Donald Trump reacted yesterday?
Well, disappointed. And I have to say that, well, I've already shared with you my thoughts on the dishonorable Secretary of Defense. I joined the show late. Earl, did you and Sandy talk about the radar detection communication system? Did you all discuss that?
No, we didn't. And so let me say this to you, Cassandra, before we get into all those things. We're putting the cart before the horse on all of these things. There are multiple investigations going on. Nobody knows yet what it was. There are people who point at the air traffic controllers. There are people who are pointing at all sorts of things. But they should be given a chance to, you know, and find out and do the investigation. And shouldn't we wait to find out what they know before we do what Donald Trump did and go off half-cocked? And, you know, now there are people blaming the air traffic controllers. We don't know what it was. But anyway, go ahead, Cassandra.
Yes, no, the reason why I bring up the communication systems is because, and Pete Hegseth, he would know this, and, you know, this is a lack of ethics on his part. One reason why this happened is because, well, a couple of reasons. Number one, those airways are too congested. Number two, the radar detection communication systems, they are different for both the military and commercial flights. And the female pilot, they have a recording, and she was asked, do you see the aircraft? She saw an aircraft, and she said yes, but it was not the aircraft that she crashed into. So the other problem is that area above the Potomac, you have the military transporting dignitaries to save them travel time when they go home for their visits. These are senators, congressmen, and their selected staff members. What our dishonorable Secretary of Defense should do, he should either mandate the military open up their radar communication system for that hub in D.C., so they are efficiently speaking to each other about the aircraft in the area because there's a blind spot. Or what he should do is ask Trump to put out an executive order that congressmen and senators and their staff cannot use the military helicopters as a shortcut to fly home and visit their district.
So
there's just too much traffic.
So Cassandra, I don't disagree with any of those things. You know, maybe all of this was inevitable with the sheer amount of traffic that flies through there. But for 16 years, you know, there hadn't been a problem. This is why I'm saying we should wait to find out what took place, you know, before all these changes are made. Do there need to be changes? Yes. But shouldn't we wait to find out what happened so we'll know which area to fix first as opposed to all these things at once?
Well, and I come back to the notion that this is an example of an important function of government, and the government is filled with many, many important functions. And the whole DOGE approach to trying to eliminate across the board a huge number of employees as if all of them are unimportant, and as if all of their jobs will be easy to refill, and as if experience and competence is not a part of what it is that our many government employees do, is fatuous. But unfortunately, it's been politicized to the point where many people in the public believe that. And so, you know, maybe this is an example of something that ought to persuade people that government is far more complicated and complex than we've been giving it credit for being, and that it isn't something for any fool to do.
Cassandra, you last response. Go ahead.
I am just furious at the media that they are not covering this properly. There's just too much traffic over that area, and we just need to confront our elected leaders and our dignitaries and tell them that that space, that travel space, will be available for individuals who are clearly needed. So that's all I wanted to share.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Cassandra. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. You say what?
Well, I sure hope that people like Cassandra and others are starting to regret their votes that they made for Donald Trump. What I'd like to ask Sandy, I agree with you. First off, we, the people, are the government. And that means that all of these people that work for the government are just average United States citizens. They work in air traffic control. They work in all of the different departments that the Republicans want to dismantle and mainly make it so we have an oligarchy and a dictatorship. My question to you, Sandy, is, why don't we as Democrats just start having a shadow government and talk about each day, get on civic media each day, our politicians and all these people, because I don't think Democrats use progressive media very well, but get on these shows and talk about what you're saying. Talk about the fact that the FAA is a governmental body. Talk about how the Department of Defense is a governmental body. And talk about government being good, but actually have a shadow government and talk about what it is you can do to make people's lives better rather than picking up, you know, just falling into Donald Trump's trap of, you know, playing 11-year-old games.
Well, you know, a shadow government is not your idea or a novel idea. The fact is that in England and many parliamentary countries, the parties that are out of power will create a shadow government, and they will, on a daily basis, respond to what it is the incumbent government is doing to discuss what it is they would be doing as an alternative if they were, in fact, the government in power. And that's why the politicians in, for instance, England, who tend to get elected to be prime minister, have a great deal of experience because they have operated in a shadow government context for a long period of time and have taken this kind of very affirmative role. So I don't disagree with you. I think that having a knowledgeable and an active opposition in place all of the time is a good idea. And it doesn't necessarily just involve sound bites and the kind of stuff that we do in America, which is backbiting and name calling, but actually a shadow government process.
Well, it's pretty clear, Sandy. That's what the Republicans have been doing. That's why they were able to come into this running.
Well, they didn't have a shadow government. I mean, they had Project 2025. They did a bunch of thinking on the side. But I would say that most of what they were doing on an activity basis during the Biden period was making it more difficult for Joe Biden to govern, number one, and number two, to create soundbite kinds of branding issues
that would put into people's minds a particular vantage point about things without necessarily being knowledgeable. So, you know,
that
the shadow government could create a great deal of education for the American public, that kind of a process. So I think Tom's right. I think we need to get our politics cleaned up to the point where it doesn't treat the American people like they're a bunch of dummies and actually asks them to think about the issues and to understand the issues.
So let me ask you then, Sandy, because part of what was the continued postmortem after the Democrats' loss was that they were not able to convince many Tom, Dick, and Mary and speak to them about the issues that impacted and affected them. And so that was part of the reason that they lost, right?
Well, it definitely was. I mean, branding involves giving knowledge to people, or at least, you know, giving them a vantage point and a viewpoint on things. And whereas the Republican Party was busily branding the Democrats, just like they branded the deep state, how they've branded government, how they've branded government workers, they were busy branding the Democrats and the incumbents in a manner that the incumbents were not good at dispelling. And my point today, and the reason I keep emphasizing this bit about government and the image of government, is that today is a circumstance in which people who want to emphasize the importance of good government, competent government, capable government that delivers the programs that the American people want and need. We have that example yesterday, a horrible plane crash, which exhibits the very important function of our governmental employees, many of them. And it isn't just air traffic employers. It's food inspectors. It's all kinds of people that are protecting our waterways, protecting the safety of what we drink, the protecting the safety of our air. It's, you know, government was created by us as a group funding mechanism to deliver to us the things we have decided we need. And we need to make sure it does that well.
You know, Sandy.
And it won't do it well if what we allow is people to simply attack it in the manner of Doge and describe the fact that they're going to save trillions of dollars by cutting out all kinds of functions, impounding money that was authorized by our Congress to spend on our programs because someone in the White House or someone somewhere who has the White House ear has decided that they don't like that program.
So here's the part of it I didn't understand. So as a person who receives Social Security and Medicare, I know that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. I know that there are people all along the line that make that happen to make sure that this gets to me, something that I need that benefits me on a daily basis. I'm the average American. How is it possible that Republicans were able to skew that and somehow the people who receive those things don't see it the way I saw it? I know I don't get these things that don't fall down out of the sky. There's government remittance all along the way in order for me to get those things.
Well, yeah, I mean, the government is performing functions. It is our infrastructure, and we ought to make sure that it performs it well, but we ought not to eliminate it, or we ought not to experiment with it and disrupt it. You know, those are things that could make it be extremely troublesome. You don't want to experiment with air traffic controllers. You don't want to disrupt air traffic controllers.
All right, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not
clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
One and only Joe Crocker. You know, Sandy, I always referred to him as the voice. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Brendan quickly from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had three quick points. First, Sandy, great music, although I probably would have chosen Welcome to the Machine with Pink Floyd. If you want to see a really good movie about air traffic control, it's a movie from 1999 called Pushing 10 with Billy Thornton.
Yep.
It's a great movie because those are O'Hare traffic controllers. Now, you think about O'Hare. O'Hare will have parallel runways running in on approach. DC will only run traffic on approach, generally as a rule, 90% of the time, either on runway 1 or runway 19, coming either north or south. So it's not a real hard thing to figure out. And the third point I want to say is, you know what? I agree with CJ. Hey, CJ, maybe if the Republicans stop stealing money from the public education system every year and slowly sapping the amount of money kids are getting to learn, they would know how to read. So I agree with you there.
Hey, Brenda.
And this could be a date to mark on the calendar. But, hey, great show, you guys. And
hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, quickly, Donald Trump is making these overtures, and Republicans will say, he's negotiating. He's a great negotiator. That's what he's doing.
You're talking about tariffs.
Yes.
Well, first of all, these across-the-board tariffs, if implemented, are exceedingly dangerous. It's experimenting with an economy that's currently doing well, But it's experimenting in a way that could definitely tip it in the direction of stagflation. Larry Summers, an economist who CJ likes to quote when it's convenient, was one of the authors of a recent letter describing how it is that tariffs are most likely in every manner to be a failed policy. And that, number one, using them, if you're only using them for negotiation, then it's not going to be a source of great revenue. So this whole notion that you can cut taxes because you're going to get a bunch of revenue from tariffs is disingenuous. But if you are going to implement tariffs for the purpose of deriving revenue, then you're going to have a very, very negative effect on the economy. You're going to have across-the-board inflation. You're going to have a shrinking GDP growth rate. You're going to have a world recession. You're going to create an environment that will be very hard to solve. You know, stagflation was very hard to solve. You can't pour money into the economy to solve for stagflation. And it'll be very hard to pour money into the economy anyway because of the lack of discipline in Washington for the last 25 years with respect to deficits, such that our debt service has become quite burdensome. So it's going to be much harder to use this tool. And cutting taxes today, further reducing revenue, further increasing deficits, will only make it much harder to use the tool in the future of solving for the recession, which is very likely to occur with across-the-board tariffs.
You know, Sandy, it always sounds good, right? I mean, it's Trump throws these things out, and so what does he think? He thinks that Canada and Mexico are going to capitulate. They're going to cower. And they're going to do, you know.
Well, apparently he wants to bring them to the negotiating table to renegotiate the treaty that he executed in his administration. And now he wants them to break the treaty. It's not expiring today. He wants them to reopen the negotiation and to renegotiate with him. Well, it's hard to negotiate with someone who keeps breaking the deal, right? Why would you cut the next deal if all you're doing is negotiating against yourself? And so, you know, yeah. And they probably will negotiate some changes to the deal. It does expire in a year or a year and a half and is up for renegotiation. So there probably will be some changes made to it. But I'm not sure that it was necessary to impose across-the-board tariffs in order to accomplish that outcome.
So what does it do, Sandy, to relationships when you bring a guy in with a hammer and all he sees is the hammer? And all of these decades that we built relationships, is that the way to handle things, Sandy, on a business?
Well, he thinks that America First can be this impersonalized process of every country, each person for themselves, getting what it is they can for themselves. But it leads to, for instance, his notion of empire, which is dividing up the world, apparently, letting the United States have the Western Hemisphere, a la President Monroe. Let's take Greenland. Let's take the Panama Canal. Let's sort of rename this whole hemisphere as the United States of America. You know, that's not going to bode well in the process of a complex world.
Hey, Sandy, I hate that the time left so early. We had a lot to talk about. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the music. See you on Tuesday. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for another great week. Up next, Jane Mattinier. Mattinier on air. See you guys on Monday.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Jane Mattinier and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, John Dietrich joins us, Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, with his latest piece on gun violence in Wisconsin. It's important. Don't miss it.
Mattinier on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Dive crews are back in the Potomac searching for more victims of Wednesday's collision between a passenger plane and an Army helicopter near Washington. Investigators are combing over the two black boxes. Former NTSB Chair Robert Sumwalt.
What's really going to tell the tale is going to be the radar data, which is showing exactly where each airplane was at the time, and then correlating that to the pilot-to-controller voice communications.
The first American-born hostage is scheduled to be released from Gaza tomorrow. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
Siegel had moved to Israel from the United States in 1980 and had been living on a kibbutz with his family.
Two Israelis are also expected to be freed. A pair of atmospheric rivers headed to southern and northern California. San Mateo County Emergency Manager Ryan Reynolds.
Make sure that you're ready to last in your home for 72 hours and then just, you know, be prepared if you think you're in danger to leave early.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.